The following story about Park School was submitted by Joan Sprague. The upper grades lined up at the front entrance each morning to await the opening of the doors by Miss Scogan, the principal. Grade by grade, we filled up the steps to greet our teachers on the upper floor. Good morning, boys and girls. Good morning, Miss Ekblad. Fourth grade. 8 years old, October, 1945. The war was over, and because we had followed my dad in the Navy from base to base, this would be the ninth school I had attended in 5 years, including a few months of kindergarten at Park School in 1941. Three of my siblings also attended Park School at that time. A brother in the first grade, with so many enrolled, the class was split into two, one held in the basement. It was the year schools were closed for a time because of the polio epidemic. During rainy weather, in the winter, we moved our overshoes as we entered the building, carried them up the steps to the cloakroom, and placed them on the floor below the hooks holding our coats, scarves, and caps along the wall. Often the long brown cotton stocking girls wore for protection from the frigid winter cold were wet from the deep snowbanks, so these were also removed and placed over the radiators to dry. The odor of wet woolen stockings, mittens, and scarves, and sometimes burning fiber, permeated the room during the winter months. The upper grade teachers were Miss Ekblad, fourth grade, Mrs. Jacobson, fifth grade, and Miss Scogan, sixth grade and principal. The classrooms were small, with two walls of blackboards and one with windows with the designated fire exit to access a metal ladder attached to the outside of the building. I thought it would be fun to use it, but that never happened, as our fire drills only led us down the steps, out the back door, and onto the playground. No more than 30 wooden desks with attached flip-up seats faced the teacher's desk in rows of five or six. Our books and supplies were placed into the desks, while on the desktop was a groove to hold pencils, and on the upper right side, an inkwell, empty until penmanship instruction, when monitors distributed filled bottles to place into the wells. The long braids of girls sitting at the desk ahead often tempted an errant prankster and resulted in many a blonde girl going home that day with blue-tipped braids. Specialized instruction in art, penmanship, and physical education were given to us regularly by specialists, but we were very fortunate to have Mrs. Jacobson as our own music educator. We accompanied our classmates or the music from the Victrola with sticks, tambourines, and drums, and sang rounds, spirituals, lullabies, and songs with stories as well as religious ones. We learned about classical composers and during sixth grade walked to the Moorhead Armory to hear the Minneapolis Symphony Orchestra. I will always remember the sounds I heard that day and believe that to be a turning point in my musical education. In late fall and into December, as sixth graders, we learned to sing selections from Messiah and participated in the school-wide public presentation at Moorhead Junior High before Christmas. Each year, a different elementary school was chosen to portray Mary, Joseph, the angels, shepherds, and wise men. I was chosen to be one of the angels. The playground area surrounded by a wire fence consisted of hard-packed dirt and no grass with two or three monkey bars, one so high most of us needed boosting up to grip the bars. We hung by our knees and some experts performed monkey grinders, rubbing the insides of elbows raw even with the protection of a coat slung over for padding. There was also a slide and a few swings at the edge of an open space used for ball games. Near the building, we drew lines or circles in the dirt and played marbles. While waiting for the doors to open each morning, we also pitched marbles into the holes of the ice snow scraper mat at the entrance, with the marble landing closest to the door the winner. There were three classrooms on the first floor, one for each primary grade. Restrooms were located in the basement. One area of the basement, with its low ceiling, was used for physical education during the winter months. We tumbled on thin mats and learned how to make pyramids, falling to the floor, giggling and laughing as we landed on each other. Marie Jorgensen was the Moorhead Public School nurse and visited regularly in her dark uniform to check with general health, sight, and hearing, while also inspecting for outbreaks of diseases. She gave lessons in hygiene and health, and for a treat, would show a movie in the darkened basement for the upper grades at once. We sat on the floor and watched white helmeted soldiers equipped with toothbrushes as weapons, fighting black helmeted ones spreading destruction and decay in teeth. A dental health chart with each student's name was posted in each classroom where a star was placed after visiting the dentist, the goal of 100% to show Miss Jorgensen with pride. She also checked us at our homes, after absences of more than just a few days. In cases of contagious diseases such as measles, mumps, and chickenpox, a quarantine sign was posted on the front door to notify others that family not to enter. Often, entire families were kept out of school for fear of spreading disease. Her signature was required to gain re-entry. We had morning breaks when half pints of milk in glass bottles were delivered by a milkman, who set the glasses in the entry hall to be retrieved by class monitors. During the winter months, delighting us all, the milk sometimes pushed the cardboard seals upward into a column of frozen ice and were placed near the radiators to thaw. But more often than not, they stayed partially ice, allowing us to linger over the treat. We walked 5 blocks home for lunch and returned after 1 hour for afternoon classes. After school sessions were held for those needing help, and was also a time to help the teacher. We erased blackboards, tidied up bookshelves, and assisted the teacher in any way. I remember Miss Scogan especially asking us personally to help her and making me feel very special. We filled boxes with toothbrushes, toothpaste, soap, and razors for the GIs remaining overseas and celebrated each holiday from Labor Day to Memorial Day with historical lessons, artwork, and songs while patriotism was instilled in us. Those were happy and carefree years, establishing not only enduring friendships, but a foundation of principles to support us during our journeys through life.